This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, February 7th, 2017, episode 108. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. If you're interested in gaming, geekiness, and more, check out The Crummy Show at crummyshow.com. Joining me, Mr. Immersion himself, Brian Aldridge. Hey, Brian.
Hello. Hey, Nick. If you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or if you'd like to go check out my blog, it's biteoftech.com. If you're not a part of our Discord group, I encourage you to go to infectionpodcast.com. On the right-hand side, we have actually shows you a list of people that are currently logged in or chatting inside of Discord. You can click join on that button, and it will get you an invite, because Discord is kind of an invite system to where you can't really search for them. You have to have a link to get into it. So that has a link for you that will get you to be a part of it. And then from there on out, you should be able to just open up Discord and you'll be a part of the Infection group. Also our Steam group, if you'd like notifications, maybe you're listening to it after the fact, you're not watching live. If you'd like some notifications of our live shows, you should go to our website, click on Join Steam group, and it will add you to our Steam group on there. And from there, you'll get notifications each and every week, and for our Friday night games as well. So that's really helpful if you're interested in getting into some of those games, but you don't remember, or maybe you just want a notification on your computer so that when you happen to be home, you can join us on those days. So it's very useful to do that. And we don't tweet too much or send messages on it too much. So you should be good.
I actually have been tweeting a little bit more. No Steam notifications, but I have definitely been tweeting. I'm trying to stay more active on Twitter. It seems like a lot of developers, a lot of companies, Twitter's big. I use Twitter personally all the time. But with Infection, I was just trying to keep it no spammy. But I retweet pretty much any developer that tweets something out about Miscreated today. They were like, hey, we need people to jump on a test server or something like that. Retweeted.
Yeah.
I think I retweeted Ark or something like that today.
If people get mad that you're tweeting up to once a day, whatever.
You're not going to please everybody. Twitter is not the social network.
That's the point of Twitter.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you get mad because Facebook is a totally different thing. You can look at Facebook and be like, man, this is spammy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If any of my friends are posting, oh, come check out this, the women do raps or whatever, those health raps or whatever they are, and whatever other things they happen to be into. And it's like, I don't want to see that stuff on my stream. Facebook is for people that I know in real life, just giving family updates. Twitter's where I want to learn things.
Exactly.
Well, or find new things.
Yes, and you can follow us on Twitter at InfectionCast, C-A-S-T. Of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. YouTube is going to be really important come PAX time, and we are going to PAX East 2017. We are, Brian, 30 days until PAX. We're 29 days till we'll be out there in PAX, in Boston for PAX East. We are still taking donations. We still encourage people to donate if they feel so inclined to do so. Over on our website, it's infectionpodcast.com/PAX. We got t-shirts coming in. We got mic flags, dog tags, camera equipment. But I guess we'll just announce it now,
Brian.
Our hotel
money
is narrowing. But it's fine. We're going to have a great time. So I guess the big thing here, Brian, is we got media passes, which we announced a couple of weeks ago. But we're going to be producing, Brian and myself, with Langun and of course Jake the Snake Zembrowski, are going to be producing video content, video interviews at PAX. Mm-hmm. We were able to work something out with that. We've got the highest quality video equipment, audio equipment for this event. Yep. We're going to be walking around the show floor. We're going to get exclusive access to some booths, exclusive access to the show early as part of media. So that's a big announcement for us. And that's why YouTube is going to be so important. All of that content will be available on YouTube. Hopefully I can, hopefully there's usable internet at the hotel and we can kind of get that content out there as fast as possible. So we're going to be producing all sorts of content. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like,
I have unlimited bandwidth on my phone, but you got to think of how many other people are going to be using their cell phone data.
Yes.
It's not just, oh, Boston usually has good cell phone service. There's going to be 1,000 people plus thousands of people all using their cell phones at the same time in one little area.
Exactly.
So we don't really want to rely on that. So we're going to have a lot of stuff that we're recording during the time. You know, we'll probably try to do some things live, but we'll make sure that we at least record things so that we can broadcast them out later.
Yep. And also within the next week or so, I'm going to create probably a Periscope account. And maybe we could do some live stuff with Periscope, excuse me, as well as, there's an app on the phone for streaming to Twitch, like Twitch IRL. So we'll give some of that stuff a try. Bandwidth. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it all is on the bandwidth. What is available with that? I will have finally, Brian, new internet by the time PAX is here. So hopefully,
Oh, your house?
Yes, I'm gonna have a 100 megabit symmetrical by then, most likely. So,
oh my goodness,
we'll be able to get that stuff uploaded pretty quick.
Well, I was actually just saying before the show when you were getting ready that they announced that new 4K webcam.
Yes.
Well, for Logitech, I'm saying if I got that, it would probably crash out your internet connection, so that wouldn't be really good.
I don't. My internet's not that. I have 50 megabits down.
You're incoming, yeah. So mine going to you would be fine. I think you're pretty close right now to your limit on your outgoing.
I'm on my limit, but that will hopefully all be resolved within the next couple of weeks. So that's our housekeeping stuff. Let's roll into news, Brian. We do have some news here with everybody's favorite game, Conan Exiles. We had a great week. I guess that's up for debate if we had a great week or not. We had a week with Conan Exiles. So I'm trying to remember what was between this show and last show. Last show, the game was launching after the show last week. We were anticipating the launch. I was able to jump. Brian and I were able to jump on a public server right away. We got a tiny little base built up, and that's pretty much when all hell broke loose from the server standpoint. Yeah. There's a pretty extensive community letter here from Jens Erik, who we were fortunate enough to have on the show a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to read through most of it. These are the first few days of early access. They've been an absolute whirlwind. They say the game is super popular, which we covered that it was, but it was way more popular than they were anticipating, so that was a pleasant surprise for sure for them. But as you all know, it has uncovered some unforeseen issues that we are working very hard to resolve. We have already released several patches, which we will cover in a couple minutes here, and the entire team is working on getting the next one ready. We remain 100% committed to the early access model, which is important, very important with this, because there could have been a situation here where I guess they were thinking, hey, maybe this something isn't going to work here with early access, but they're committed to that model, and that means they're going to continue listening to the community. And making sure that they improve the game's consistency. Right now, they're focusing on more pressing issues like rubber banding, disconnects, and other server-related issues. And as soon as they have those under control, they'll start looking at things with gameplay. Unfortunately, due to the overwhelming demand for servers and their needs for administrating them, the official server partner, which was Ping Perfect, who I'd never heard of before, Conan Exiles, that I guess they've been around for a couple of years, but I've just never heard of him. They were unable, and I'm reading this directly from their notes now. I'm not making anything up here. They were unable to deliver the level of quality and service that we required. Because of this, they have mutually agreed to end the partnership. We are in the process of finding new partners with the ideal hardware we can move the existing games database to. However, due to the high demand for Conan Exiles servers, many hosting companies are simply out of the hardware that we need, as such process may take a few days. It was an absolute disaster. I think to say it lightly. Now the good thing is Funcom was very forward with the information. They didn't hide. They didn't, you know, unplug the Ethernet jack at their office and say, "Oh, geez, the internet's out. No updates for a week." They were continuing to roll out updates. They have, I believe they found a new server host. I believe they're using game servers. I believe it's, that was rumored. I think that's true. It's gameservers.com, I believe, is the new official host for the Conan Exiles servers. If somebody can check us on that, I'm certain. I think it's been announced publicly by now. If not, it was a rumor that was circulating around. Yeah. We're not journalists, so we can cover that. So it was going to be gameservers.com. As of right now, we're recording this show on February 7th. The official servers are still not up, to my knowledge. So there are still, it's still an ongoing issue. Fortunately for them, there's like thousands of unofficial servers that people are running. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen so many official servers on a game.
Imagine
so
if
soon.
They didn't have those available.
Oh, they'd people be screwed.
People would have dropped the game, you know, would have asked for refunds.
And,
like
and
crazy.
You could have easily asked for a refund. If there was no servers available, their asses were totally saved by people that were, hosting servers, people like Unicorn Joe, people like MJ in our community that were hosting servers. Because without it, there would have been zero servers online for Conan Exiles.
Okay, so let's discuss this for a second, because it's easy to blame the server host.
Yep.
Right? How much of this is partially that maybe the server hosts aren't giving enough power, or you know, whatever it is, bandwidth, maybe they ran out of bandwidth to the game, or is part of it that maybe they don't have the game optimized enough to where it's using too much bandwidth and it's using too much processor to run?
I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. Ping, again, I'm not bashing Ping Perfect. I've got no vested interest in Ping Perfect. I don't care. I don't care if they're successful. I don't care if they fail. I'm neutral on. Of course, I want them to do well, but I've got no skin in the game here saying this. They clearly were not, they were either lying about this was a hardware issue from all accounts that I've read. They just did not have the hardware, and the reason
because
I believe
MJ who ran his own server, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have nearly as many issues.
No, and he's running that on only a 20 megabit connection. So that's what indicates to me.
So I mean, that
kind
of gives
issue.
You a little bit of a hint there.
Yeah.
That his computer would have had issues.
Similar issues.
If it was purely down to badly optimized game code.
Exactly. So I genuinely believe that this was a hardware issue, and Ping Perfect was unable to perform at the level that they were expected to. Originally, Tuesday night, servers went up 70 player cap on all the servers. I would say maybe Thursday, or Wednesday night, they dropped that to 40 players per server. Yeah. So they essentially cut that number in half right off the bat, which again is another indication of hardware issues. And then at 40, I guess there were still issues. The servers were constantly crashing. All the official servers were full. They essentially cut every official server in half, player cap wise. So there were a lot of issues.
Here's the thing that kind of makes me wonder, though. If you look at like the one that Joe is doing.
Yep.
That one is having the same issues, and it's with a different host.
So again, that
is it partially the virtualized? I mean, that's the thing, is these are probably all virtualized servers without dedicated hardware. You know, he was running dedicated hardware, you know, on even though it was a 20 megabit connection.
Yep. Yeah, it's a dedicated Windows server box.
He was running a dedicated server. Perhaps that's the issue, is it's having an issue with those virtual machines. They're probably just giving it not quite enough, and they don't want to dedicate enough to, you know, to have it actually be like a, you know, an actual physical server. They need to just give it a little more juice.
Well, I would assume that I think they were out of hardware. Their servers and the other site. And
they probably used up all of the things and kept creating instances, making it so that their existing ones are just a little bit weaker.
But I mean, there was clearly some type of hardware limitation, memory, CPU cycles. There was clearly a hardware, and I have no problem throwing this company under the bus because they suck. Survivalservers.com.
Okay, what about bandwidth? I mean, it could have been they didn't have enough bandwidth.
I don't think it was bandwidth
because their site was going down. You think that they're hosting their website on a game server?
Would you be surprised? With the level of support that we've seen from survivalservers.com, who are actively not responding to support tickets. Their website was returning a 502 for like a day and a half.
Yeah. PH is saying, blame the ISP. I'm not blaming the ISP. I'm blaming how much bandwidth they have access to.
I think it was a whole bunch of things. I'm convinced it was a hardware issue. Bandwidth could have played into it a little bit as well, but I heard zero issues from MJ about bandwidth. And he at one point he had 60 people on his server on 20 megabits.
But I'm saying
no problem.
All across all of their servers.
If
they're running this on a 100 megabit connection, out of some data center.
Well, that's the problem is that they didn't properly allocate for it. If you could run 60 people on less than a 20 megabit connection, then that's not a bandwidth issue.
I'm just thinking across all of them, they may have run out of bandwidth. They may not have properly assessed that all of these servers at this point in time are going to be active.
Yeah.
It's not like websites or like email to where, okay, you have this much bandwidth, I can put a bunch of people on there, because most people aren't using them at the same time. This is launch day of a game release.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be, there was 230,000 people playing at one point.
Yes.
There
was clearly with unequivocally, without a doubt. And going back to Ping Perfect, who I'm not looking to, destroy. Going back to Ping Perfect, they did not assess the amount of either hardware or bandwidth that needed to be implemented for this game to work. And I give them credit. And I give them credit for the fact that they were able to mutually agree with the Funcom people. Hey, this is not... We can't do this. Instead of holding them to a contract that they couldn't uphold. There was a mutual... As I read in Jens Erik's post, there was a mutual agreement that, you guys aren't going to be able to provide us what we need. We can't provide you what you need. That wasn't going to work. Does appear that gameservers.com is going to be the new host of official Conan Exiles servers. But as of right now, a week later, not even a week later, probably 5 to 6 days later, the servers are still not up. Who knows if there's going to be a... they say they're going to be able to copy over the database. Is there going to be any... data loss? Are they going to have to do a reset? I have no idea. That's logistically going on behind the scenes, and we hope to, I was really hoping they would be back up by tonight, but thus far, I keep checking, nothing is up, official server wise. The good thing is there are thousands and thousands of, privately run, unofficial servers that are up and you can hop on. And those seem to be, minus a couple crappy server hosts, those all look to be stable. I've only seen on Reddit bad stuff about survival servers. That's the only one I've seen people active. I mean, their website was down for over a day and a half. That's the only site that I've seen people bashing publicly. So we'll see what people think. For me, let's get into that after. Let's cover the news first, and then we can kind of go into our opinion. Or do you want to do our opinions first on the game, now that we've actually played it in a public environment?
We can go over the changelog first, and then we can go into our opinions, because we may talk about some of those things that they addressed. So that way we can discuss it in that context.
So there are a couple of patches here that we will cover. The first one is from February 2nd, which was last Thursday. The changelog goes like this. Removed network congestion from big buildings in hopes to reduce lag. Disable random NPC taunts during combat. Fixed an issue with some players getting stuck after character creation. There was a whole lot of issues with character creation, character login, and then another one fixed a bug where the loading screen would disappear, showing the main menu or the world. Most of this stuff was isolated to last week. That seems to have really cleared up a lot, but we'll cover that. Fixed incorrect settings on port values for servers, making it less likely that you will disconnect when entering a new server. Added a show full servers checkbox to the server window. Introduce a possible fix for the building pieces not loading properly, which we were seeing, Brian. We saw the doors disappearing randomly, walls not showing up.
I'd sit there and I'd be running through, I'd let you go, just barely pass it, and then slingshot you back.
Slingshot you back. And just to be clear, with most of these patches, we are going to probably cover the things that we'd already covered, because I mean they fixed the same thing multiple times.
And do you have all these tabs pulled up because Steam is down?
Yes, I do. Graphic drivers checked on startup, which I was seeing encourage you to update if needed, and then several other minor tweaks and improvements. And the thralls, those are the little hay beds that you throw, correct?
No. Thralls, okay. Thralls are the people that you go and capture.
Ah, okay. Okay, so then it was fixed thralls resetting on, so if you captured them, they would reset on server restarts. They would no longer be,
they wouldn't belong to you.
Yeah, they're slaves, right? I mean, that's essentially what you're doing, right? So you're enslaving them.
Yeah. Yep.
So, this would occur if people picked up then placed their thralls again. They weren't being saved. So there was an issue with that. Moving. They did all not load. These are all down because Steam is down.
Well, we can come back to it.
Let's talk about our opinions then, and we can come back to these when Steam comes back. I opened them all before the show, and I guess I was having some issues with it.
It must have refreshed.
Only the first one loaded. So,
nice.
Let's jump into opinions then. Tuesday, I was up until probably, I think I was up till 3 a.m. on Tuesday, and it was rough. That would have been 3 a.m. Wednesday morning. It was very, very rough trying to get in the servers. The game was crashing. The servers were filling up instantly. The server would kick everybody off for a restart, and then you would just sit there and try to join. You couldn't join through the launcher. Sometimes you had to join through the Steam server, which I still think they're still having issues with joining through the Steam servers list instead.
So we were having to go through. You go to Steam, you go to your server list that's up in the Steam menu, and then I would go and add it to favorites so that I could join from there, because there wasn't a way otherwise to join the game. And then, as you were saying, people were. Let's say you found a server that you wanted to play on, one of their public servers. You'd be able to play on it for a little while. It would crash out. People would, whatever would happen, to fill up again, and you'd never be able to get into that server because it was constantly 40 of 40.
Yes. And even the night of it was 70 of 70 or 69 of 69 the entire night. So it was just very tough to try to get on these official servers. And then when they cut that limit in half, it just totally screwed everything up. So that was Tuesday, Wednesday. Honestly, because of all of these prolonged server issues, I really haven't played the game a whole lot.
I've almost burned myself out because I've been to level 10 on, I think, 5 characters now before the servers just have issues. And so that's been frustrating, because you'll go and you'll play, and then, you get up to 10, 11, up to maybe 12. And then we're starting over on another server because that server either quits working or it's full constantly. And it's just like, I want to discover the game past that, but it just keeps resetting for me. And I'm tired of doing level 1 through 10.
Yeah. And that's kind of the boat I'm in. It's not that I think the game is bad or I think the game is never going to be good. It's just, we're just not
getting a stable enough server to play past that.
Yeah, we're not getting anything done because every game is every server we're joining. We tried the official server, that lasted about a day and that was gone. And then since then, we've had the issues with the survival servers. So I just like Brian said, I just have no interest in. Oh, great, making another 4x4 wooden or a stone base again, getting nothing done again. So I think the general consensus.
Like Joe points out, he's like, server admin, Brian, you can give your XP to your character. I've been trying not to cheat. Well, it's not trying. I've just been not cheating. You know what I'm saying?
Tried so hard not to cheat.
Well, it's like when you're tired, that was my fifth time. And I have server admin access. And it's like my fifth time going to level 10. It's such a temptation. Because it's like, I could just make myself level 10 and then continue, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. So now my character is, I think, level 10 from playing the time that we got to play.
Yeah.
So,
I want to like this game, and I'm going to like this game, but I'm not going to play it, and I'm not going to bash my head against the wall trying to join certain public or private servers as they go up and down. I don't know if you were. I wasn't around for the game night Friday night. There were some people playing. I don't know what they really accomplished. I assumed servers were going to be stable by then, but they were not.
And I think Steam's back up, so we should.
We might as well finish the opinion stuff now and then move on to it. So, other than that, I haven't played a whole lot. I've just been waiting for these servers to go up and be stable. Hopefully that's by this weekend. I'd love to get some hours in on this game, some serious hours. You know, not just playing it for 25, 40 minutes here, an hour here. Get some serious 2-3-4 hour sessions in on this game and check it out. Because unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. That's where you kind of have to decide. Do you want to do a little bit of a? Because our first game that you and I played together, that was, I think, a 3x server for resources. And we got up.
Is
to
that
level,
what that was? Okay.
Mm-hmm. We got up to level 12 or 13 in that afternoon, and so that felt much less like a grind. And we didn't want to decide. Do we want to go and kind of see everything, like do it to a 3x, so we can go through and kind of figure out the game, or do we want to drag that out? I have a feeling that people will start to lose interest before we get to that point, and we may want to increase the gather or something a little bit.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Are you of the same opinion? That's just kind of my worry, is that people will.
If the servers are stable enough, like, and I mean, if the official servers coming back up with the new server host, gameservers.com, if they come back up and they are rock solid, I don't think people will be burned out. But as of right now, if you were trying to get things done like you guys were, and you were just servers constantly going down, yeah, people get burned out.
That's my worry. I want people to experience it, and I want to see the next what's coming up before something happens and then we're starting over again.
Maybe I don't know if the resources are sped up on the Blitz servers or not.
I think they are, yeah.
So then maybe a Blitz server is the way to go. We'll see.
But it'll wipe. So
it'll wipe 30 days, exactly.
Then move or, you know, start over again.
Yeah, or start over in 2 months or 3 months, whenever, you know, there's
where
some
we
more
join
interest
in. You have interest again.
Exactly. And that's the thing I like about Conan. It's not that people, you know, games like Ark specifically, it turned into a job after a certain point. It just turned into this thing that every day you'd wake up and you go, oh, you know, I've got to go and I've got to run around this stupid white wolf for 45 minutes, killing everything in sight to get food, to bring it back, to put it in a fire, to put it in feeding troughs all over the place. And you'd spend an hour and a half doing that every single day. Unfortunately, we had a large enough group where other people wouldn't, you know, other people would do it sometimes. But that was, I mean, that was, you logged in, it was like, oh, there's no food. Okay, I'm going to go run out. It turned into a chore.
See, that's where I think that Blitz server, as you're saying, it would be a really good idea, because we can say, all right, for the next 30 days, we're going to play this. And then there's no pressure after that to keep playing. Like, we can stop for a while. We can do something else.
It's over with. Exactly. 30 days, everything we've done is gone.
Everything we built is gone anyways. Like, there's, takes all the question out of it.
Yep. And there is a good site that PHVCK just posted in the chat. It's topconanservers.com. This is the best site, I think, for this list.
Yep. And you can see the uptime of servers.
Yep.
Compare everything to see which ones are the most stable and has good numbers.
Exactly. You can see the rates and everything on these. And, you know, we'll continue to follow that stuff. And, you know, I'm hoping that by next week's show is going to be on a Monday, as we said last week. Hopefully by then we've actually had a chance to jump in and play for a stable amount of time without constantly crashing out. That's it for me. That's all I have opinion-wise for the gameplay of Conan. If you don't have anything else, Brian, we can jump back into news.
Yep, let's go and go. Let's go and go back into it.
All right, so this was February 3rd, another patch. This one was fixed for a server crash that resulted when players entered specific areas of the game. They didn't, you know, good getting into any detail on what now, areas.
Do you like the way they're doing these patches as far as the date? So you, it's not, it's like, here's one difference between ARC, which is numbers, so like 524 or whatever it is. This is doing it to where the patch number is the day, and then they'll do A, B, C, D, E's all the way after that.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that. And actually, as you say that, I realized I stepped over one. Because the same, it's the same date, so I actually stepped over February 2nd, A, which I don't like actually, now that I think of it, because it just sounds stupid. It's 02/02/2017 A. You will now be able to click through on the screen pop-up message. It will no longer possibly destroy your sandstone building. It will no longer be possible to destroy your sandstone building with stone or iron weapons. Steel weapons will be able to destroy them. It will be no longer possible to destroy sandstone buildings with iron or steel weapons. It will require explosives to do that. So that's the difference between sandstone and sand brick. Sandstone is the regular stuff you make with just the
going to get in the rock.
Rock and wood. Is that what you make? And stone brick is on top of that. Weapons found in chests will not be able to hurt sandstone buildings. Those are the original tier weapons. Projectiles, those are arrows, will no longer do damage to buildings of any type. So no matter the strength of a building, arrows won't do damage. We've added a players list GUI to the admin panel. Admins will be able to use this to get a list of all the players currently connected to the server, because previously you'd have to go on one of those server list websites and click through Steam to see the list of people that were playing. That wasn't ideal. February 4th, new patch. The changelog for this: optimized network traffic, which should help with performance. Server crash fix, server hang fix, made saving the loading of game data more robust. There were a couple servers. If you look at that top Conan website, that'll say, wiped 2/5/17 because of data corruption. So there were definitely some issues with servers. As they said, the server crash and the data was getting corrupted. So there may have been some issues with that. Hopefully everything seems to be a little more stable now. Added additional.
See, and actually I ran into this on mine where I had my character die like seconds before the server crashed. And when I came back, my character was still where I died, but I had no gear. My bag wasn't there because it didn't register that I had died. I had nothing, but it showed me with full clothes. But I couldn't take anything off. Really messed up my character. I haven't logged in since. So I don't know if my character's broken or what. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll have to.
I think my character might be corrupted, so I'm not sure if it's going to work correctly.
Interesting. We'll have to see what happens with that. But hopefully that's a little more robust. That's always tough with server crashes. How does that data get dumped? With the server crash, it's just how they handle the crash itself.
And that's one thing with ARC, they've done a pretty good job of. Yeah. It seems like when a server crash happens, you don't lose anything. You may go back a little bit.
Now, it's funny. I did see, what's her, is it Jenny at ARC? On Twitter, said they had to restore dinosaurs on a couple official servers because something happened just earlier this week, which is pretty funny. You don't see that very often, but it was something. Mm-hmm. They said server numbers, like it was like 186 through 189 or something, and dinosaurs have been. It's weird. It's like certain. It's only like a couple servers. Like they'll be
some
like,
they probably are grouping some of them together, yeah. So it's probably one server cluster.
It seems like it's only three or four servers at a time that have issues, so on and so forth, depending on that. Two more patches here on the February 4th update. Added additional troubleshooting information to the server logs. Those are for you server admins. And sacrificed a chicken on the altar of Set. Set is the religion? Yeah, Set would be
religion, yeah.
Yeah, Set would be the religion that
there's
you would
There's four,
pick.
I think, religions available right now.
Yeah, and there's a whole wheel. There's probably 12 or 10 on the whole wheel, but you can only select four.
I don't know about
four.
That many.
I thought there was a bunch, but
I think there was like eight of one type, and then there's some other variation too.
Okay, gotcha. So another patch here. This is February 5th. This is the trend: network usage optimization, server performance optimization, server usage optimization. They upgraded from SQL Lite 3.92 to 3.162. Quite a jump in versions. There was obviously some issue going on.
That must have been the version that they started development under.
And they probably
never updated it. And they're like, oh, we're
you were regretting the update, because updating databases isn't always the easiest task. And they eventually moved up.
That's the thing. Is it probably when they started the project, it was the current version of SQLite was 3.9.2. So they probably just have been developing under that the whole time.
Yeah.
And we're like, we don't want to, you know, don't bother with it. They didn't see a problem.
And obviously there was some issue that came up.
There was some problem.
players with high strength should now be able to knock out NPCs with the Turchion, which I believe that was the thing you had. That was like the spear.
Truncheon?
That's the spear thing. That's like the question mark looking thing that I think your god creates. Instead of killing them. Because that was the thing. Yours was just kind of used as like a regular melee weapon. So maybe that actually
works. Yeah, and that's
works.
The thing is, I wasn't sure because, yeah, it's like a club.
Yeah, exactly.
But I could kill people with, I wasn't sure what the point of it really was, other than you hit it and you got things out of people, you know, when they were dead. So now you can use it as a club to knock things out. So that's, at least they have given it an actual use.
And it's interesting, though, they say players with high strength. So there's some threshold of that. It's not, if you're a higher strength, you can knock them out and then, you know, ideally switch over to some type of spear or knife or shiv and actually kill them while they're knocked out. The cutlass and the phallus should not
falcata
whatever should not be allowed to take T1 building damage T1 buildings anymore. I don't know
what tier one building. So that's
the sand, that would be sand,
the most basic ones, because that's, I remember I actually sent him a message. I was talking to Jens at this point in time. I was like, okay, so you, first of all, you can punch. This is when we were figuring out you could punch buildings,
yeah,
and breaking them down. When you couldn't hit them with certain weapons and you could, you know, and damage them, you could just go punch them for about 30 seconds, knock down any wall on people's bases. Then at the same time, I was telling, we were having trouble with the server host, and he was like, well, you should contact their support. And I told him, well, you have to have an account to contact their support. So they won't even, because, you know, it was their official server that was down.
Yeah.
And I was trying to tell them, and they wouldn't even talk to me, the server host, to tell them that one of their servers was down.
Gotcha.
So anyways.
Yes.
I love that.
Let's see. So players should now be able to join password protected games from the Steam server list, which that's how everybody was joining servers at one point. They fixed the Steam protocol connection, which is Steam:/connect/IP handling. So that worked. So when
you can make an actual link.
Yeah. When you go on like all of the, for example, they say topconanservers.com. When you go on that website, there's links to join. Those should work now. They handle the Steam protocol for joining servers now, which is great. Fixed an issue in the land claim system that could allow players to build too close to one to another player. This may result in some lost building pieces if they overlapped into land that had already been claimed by another player. We have had some issues with the game state getting corrupted on servers in certain cases. We've made the interactions with the game database more robust and added regular checks for integrity during runtime. Talked about that in the last patch as well. We've added some cases where this would happen, but we are still investigating it to see if there's any other possible occurrences of that come up. As a countermeasure to the system, since already corrupted databases will not automatically be recoverable, we've implemented a recovery system on server startup. And I'm going to get into this just because it's affecting people, because it's not uncommon that servers are getting corrupted. On server startup, if a game encounters a corrupt database, it will attempt to recover it to the last database backup that is not corrupted. That will make the status of the game to be reverted to a previous working world state, which may result in a loss of progression. To help with this, the game will now be creating database backups much more often. It sucks. You may lose some time, but you're not going to lose the whole server.
Everything's not going to become corrupted.
You may lose a couple hours, but you won't lose everything, which is great.
I'm sure they're doing like 10 minutes.
I'm sure now it's fixed. But previous to that, you would have probably lost an hour or something at a time. These are temporary measures while we keep working to eliminate the database corruption altogether. Thank you for your patience. It's interesting, Brian. We played a lot of Ark, and you always would lag and rubber band every time the server saved. Haven't noticed that once with Conan, unless the server is crashing when it's saving, which is a possibility.
That could be what we're noticing.
I haven't noticed.
If they were doing it every 15 minutes and we notice it crashes out every 15 minutes, well, then maybe.
It's possible. But I haven't noticed. And in Ark, it became to server. I don't remember what we used to say. Something like server backup. And it would just be like 10, 15, 20 sec, 30 seconds of just.
Like pausing.
Waiting. And if you were in a PvP battle with a dinosaur, would you just kind of hold your breath until. And then you would see the result 30 seconds later.
You got to think of the numbers the Ark is dealing with. With the number of bases and the number of things that they're storing currently for, if you look at the Conan servers, these are all fairly fresh. There aren't super mega bases everywhere. There's not thousands of things, thousands and thousands of things placed everywhere. So their backup should be fairly non-laggy. I mean, they only should be like a megabyte, couple megabytes on the server versus you could have a 100 megabyte backup that's happening constantly, on a big, huge Arc server.
Yeah.
So, and one thing the Arc did was they had optimized their backups. And this probably is what made a big difference is they optimized their backups to be much smaller. So somehow they figured out a way to save things, taking a lot less space, which you got to think when it's then writing a 5 megabyte file versus 100 megabyte file, that's a huge amount of less processing the hard drive has to do. Just, in that second. So I think that that's where we notice a big difference because now if you look at the Arc backups, they're actually quite a bit smaller than they used to be by over, or under a quarter of the size. I mean, they're a lot smaller than they used to be. And I think that that's why a lot of that rubber banding is gone.
And Joe says that he tried to do a database grab last night, but while doing it via FTP, the server crashed. So he was unable to grab the data. It may have not crashed. It may have restarted. We have we have Joe's server on a 4-hour restart. So every 4 hours, if it doesn't crash in between, which it seems to do almost exclusively, it'll restart every 4 hours, it seems like maybe even 2 hours would be better, but who knows. Two more quick patches here. This was February 6th. Fixed for placeables disappearing on server restart and fixed for connecting to servers from the Steam list. And then finally, bringing us current, February 7th, fixed potential server crash with the chat system, fixed a server crash that could occur when actors left the world, postponed Steam connection until the map is loaded. This should help on servers timing. I think that was a lot of the issue, you getting kicked back to the main screen, was that you were just timing out. If something was holding up, and you were just timing out. So you think, oh, the server's broken. It's not. Something on your client is wrong. There's some handoff issue and you were just timing out. They built a timeout, and of course you don't sit on a screen for 4 hours. Physics X.
Well, and that's a funny thing. Do you remember in H1Z1 where it would, the timeout would be like you're running around, you've disconnected from the server, but it's letting you still run down the street.
Yeah.
Like the server would never tell you that you're disconnected. They're letting you run down the street, run into buildings and do all these things. And you're not even connected to the server. That shows you the difference of H1Z1 doesn't even have a real timeout. Like it lets people keep doing things.
I think they have a timeout on server connection. This is on server connection. So
that's the thing. But I'm saying in the game, you could disconnect from the server inside of H1Z1. It still lets you go and do stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where people are doing like lag switching. Then they kick their connection back on. And it says, oh, you're over here. Okay. I trust you.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to cheat.
When the server goes down, the server just goes down. It just kicks you out of the game. Seemed to be interesting. PhysX will now run on multiple threads on the server, which should improve performance. PhysX would only run on one thread, so you would have one thread maxed all the way out and all the other ones maybe, not doing as much. Thralls will now attack other human NPCs, a.k.a. hostile animals, other tribe, those NPC tribes that come up to you. And then Thralls now change ownership on joining guilds. fix an exploit that could occur when players crafted foundations, and when joining a full server, that server will be favorited automatically, which is cool. They've added that as well. And then there's a PS on the bottom of this. We're working on removing the crafting station bug that creates phantom versions of the items you're trying to craft. If we didn't,
which we ran into.
Which we, if we didn't, I played today, I still have that hammer. We had about 25 hammers that didn't do any damage.
Well, the queues, so you would queue one thing to be crafted, and it would just fill up the queue with 30.
But you wouldn't know how many. Actually,
and you couldn't really cancel them, and so that was an issue. Then we all of a sudden had all these hammers, but only one of them. So it was kind of like
I have the only one.
You had the one that actually worked.
Oh,
so we
I
had all these ones
that
did zero damage, and then Nick had happened to have grabbed the one that actually did anything.
Oh, well, that makes me feel a lot more important than I should. And then there's just one more quick thing here, and then we will jump off Conan. This is just a quick statement on patches, again, from Jens Erik. As most of you know, we have been a longtime MMO company, that being Funcom. Our instinct is to always patch during off-peak hours when the least amount of players are online. So, you know, the inconvenience, the least amount of people. In our rush to get fixes out to you, we've never really stopped to think about the fact for Conan Exiles, we have thousands of unofficial servers. They're saying they have over 9,000 of them. This was February 4th, so this was a couple days ago. Actually require the server admin to get them updated. That's our bad. So while critically fixes will go out ASAP, we'll try to be better about timing the less critical patches going forward. Of course, that means that we'll be patching when more of you are online, so that you can keep it updated. The problem you have is that they do they're in Oslo, Norway. They're 7 hours ahead of East Coast time. So they're patching. They patch early morning. In Oslo, 9-10 o'clock in the morning their time. It's 3-4 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. People are not on, and it's even earlier on the West Coast. So you have American server admins that aren't able to do patches. I don't know how they're going to deal. I don't know how does Arc deal with server patch. I mean, you have a client.
I control it. So all they do is publish it to Steam.
Okay.
And then I can update. The issue that comes in is when clients update, those new versions of clients can't connect to an old outdated server.
Gotcha.
Or if your server updates, they can't connect with an older client. So it kind of has to be timed. So I have mine that it was checking every hour for updates. So if a server update came out on Steam, it would update, restart the server, and that's how they should be doing it.
Yeah. So we will.
So we'll see. I'm sure that they're starting to learn, because this is probably one of the first games where they've allowed other people to do patches like this.
Yep. And just to rebring this in, this is the current launcher, and you can notice a logo has disappeared from. The launcher, that would be the Ping Perfect logo, who is their partner in server hosting. I would imagine a game service logo will be added as soon as those servers are up. That's Conan. We gave away, of course, a copy last week. As of right now, I'd say there is no reason that you shouldn't buy this game. Server hiccups are happening, but they're not critical game issues that I've seen. Yeah. It's just server issues. And once that stuff is nailed down and ironed out, which it will be, like other early access games, everything will be fine. Crises will be averted. It'll be crazy. So
how they continue to react from this point on is going to be the big difference. I mean, that's one thing where we've always given Arc a lot of praise.
Yep.
Is they're constantly doing updates. When there's a problem, they fix it. They don't let things keep going, you know, as a problem that they know about. If they continue to do this and each day, like this week, each day there was pretty much a patch.
Yep.
If they continue to do that until things are stable enough to say, all right, well, we can go a couple days without patches, then I think we'll be good. I remember saying this exact same thing though with Daybreak at the time. You know, with some being Sony Online, I said, you know, they've got a lot of problems, but as long as they continue to put out daily updates, then I have no issue. But that's where Daybreak dropped the ball, is how long did they go without patches now? They can go a month without a patch.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. Okay. I've got some opinions. So that's Conan Exiles. Do you want to do a game giveaway now, or do you want to kind of run through ARK?
Nope. Let's go ahead and get the raffle started.
Okay.
So we will do a, so I updated our giveaway thing, so hopefully this all works.
Okay.
I will do, let's do 40 points. I think that's
okay.
I've been upping a little bit here and there.
I think 40 is probably a good number.
All right. So we are going to do gratuitous space battles. It's a fun game. It's available on Steam. I will put a link. So if you want to go check it out yourself, but this is gratuitous space battles. I think right now it's $15 on Steam. So it is a lot of fun. It's got good ratings. It's an indie strategy simulation, sci-fi space 2D game. It's a fun game. So if you don't have it, I encourage you to go and enter the giveaway. And hopefully, if one thing is, if you win a giveaway in the past and you play the game and you really enjoy it, I really encourage you to let us know.
Yes, definitely.
You should get a hold of us, maybe send us a message and say, hey, this is a game I really enjoyed playing. Not that you have to thank us for it. But
no, you have to thank us publicly. Send us a long tweet.
You have to put a YouTube video up that's a public thank.
And then apologize. Public apologies.
No, even if you found a game that you enjoyed that you won. I've had people in Discord say, hey, you know, I won this game and I really enjoyed it. Thank you. You know, just kind of give us a little bit of an update. Because if we give out a game, there's a lot of these games that I have and I've never played. I like to know. And I have too many games now at this point to go back and play them all to give you a report. So if you find a game that's really good, let me know, because then I might give it a try.
Yes. And breaking news, Twitter is down as of right now. So all hands on deck. Twitter is down. Of course, we are going to PAX East 2017. Oh, hey, we could still use the money. We spent way more on non-essential products for PAX, a.k.a. T-shirts, swag, than anticipated.
Yeah, stuff to give away.
It's going to be worth it in the end. It doesn't really matter. So if you feel so inclined to do so, head on over to our website, infectionpodcast.com/PAX, P-A-X, and throw us a few bucks. We greatly appreciate it, and we will be heading out to PAX in just a couple weeks. I'm so freaking pumped for PAX.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
It's been a long time coming that I've...
They adjust my flight time, so I may want to let you know. I'll have to look at it, make sure we're still in that window. I think it's pretty close, but they, you know, my tickets changed a little bit.
Okay, we'll talk after the show.
So I'll let you know, yeah, just to make sure.
My heart stops beating as I... as our
well,
plans
I make
crumble.
Sure that it didn't change it like the day before or after, you know, how flights can be.
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah, we're going to get you in on Friday night. Thank you.
Yeah, great. So that's, of course, infectionpodcast.com/PAX. Brian, ARK had a huge, huge milestone this week. They hit one over. I'll cover the exact number. See, this is how I keep everybody watching. I'll cover the exact number later on in the show on everybody's favorite segment, Current Players. They hit over 100,000 concurrent players earlier this week.
Crazy. Insane.
And hopefully we're going to have them on the show coming up soon to talk about some of this stuff. But it's just crazy to see ARK. That is right up there with games like CSGO and games like Grand Theft Auto to just do that. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy that they were able to do
for an alpha game. Pretty amazing.
Yes. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. So congratulations to all of the folks over there at Wildcard. Keep up. I mean, it's because they keep up the work. How many patches do we have this week, Brian? 10 patches?
Yeah, I mean, 10 patches.
It's just crazy how much work they put into this.
And I mean, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is they are constantly, I mean, I don't know how they're so consistently putting out this many patches. Like, how many people do they have putting in fixes each week? It's like each person, they're giving them one thing to fix a day. Like, here, you have to fix this today. And they're doing it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, there's nothing that they got to be taking 3 days to fix, because they're putting out patches pretty much every day.
Yeah. 10 passes in the last 7 days. You do the math. And the thing is, we've noticed that they totally slimmed down. Like there's maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 updates a patch, but it's a patch every day, nevertheless. So if we want to jump into,
Do you want me to jump into 254.3? So 254.3, this was January 31st. So right at a week ago. And it says you can no longer stand on the flight ceiling, though the jetpack flight Z is still clamped. So, so there must have been an issue where you could stand on there with the jetpack.
Well, it was the flight ceiling. So it was as high as you could fly and you could stand on the ceiling.
When you have the jetpack, you could get there and you actually, you could turn off the jetpack and stay up there.
You could walk, you could stand on the ceiling.
It would get you just above it.
Yes, and you could stand on the ceiling, the flight ceiling. That's how I decipher this.
So they must have let you just get past that just because of the jetpack was something they were doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Would have stopped.
Exactly.
So they fixed that. Single player non-dedicated bosses are reduced in damage and effective HP by 67% because they're trying to make it so it's more likely that someone can go into a single player game and actually do the end game content. Is what they're aiming for. It says you can no longer trim hair from dead bodies, which I don't know why. I mean, whatever. I guess it should be sadistic. Fixed Allosaurus alpha buff because the pack, when they would go, because with an Allosaurus, you get three of them together, one of them turns into an alpha. So that buff was not working, and they fixed that. Tech boots now consume element automatically for fall damage. And so it pretty much uses resources when you fall with the tech boots. Note, you do have to manually load them for climbing grip. However, veg cakes, which we heard a lot about a couple weeks ago, are now consumed by herbivores. Again, that broke with this last patch. They fixed the center destroying structures on floating island in PvE. So it says it's not retroactive. So if yours were destroyed, you'll have to either restore from a backup or replace them. Fixed another case where the mods would crash, particularly weapon mods. And then all players floating names for admin spectator mode, when you fly high up, now are defaulted off because it costs server performance to have those on. But you can enable it if you do the cheat command called show all players true or set show all players true. So that is 254.3. And then 254.4, this was on February 1st, so the next day, they fixed an issue with the ballista ammo, and then they made tamed pegomastax targetable by wild creatures. So a tamed one for some, they would probably, you could walk around some really aggressive dinosaurs and it still, it would not, mark as being aggressive towards you. And then they put out a small patch, 254.41, on the same day, added a warning label that hair is cut to zero when changing hairstyles, and clamped hair slider drag length. They said we had meant to release 254 with this feedback, but had accidentally disabled it. And then they improved underlying systems for mod added hairstyles in preparation for ARC dev kit release. And then they fixed a mountable turrets erroneously playing a whoosh sound whenever spawned. So,
okay.
Some programmer must have been having fun and put a whoosh sound.
Whoosh.mp3.
Yep. And then February 2nd, so the next day after that, this is 2 days and three patches. 3 days and four patches, I think. They fixed certain server stalls during player joins, and server options to disable taming and riding. So they added things so you could make it so you can have servers with zero taming and zero riding. They're kind of pushing towards a PvP type of a mode that they announced. So you can have servers that don't allow any kind of base building, that don't allow dinosaur taming. So it's pretty much a run around PvP style game. So kind of an interesting new mechanic they're working for. And now you can alter boss element on your server using the following values. So they put in a number of things so you can actually change the boss statistics. And then they added tech replicator to obelisk inventories. Unconscious dinos teleport out of the boss arenas now and change to 60 seconds to remain in arena after killing the boss. Sheep wool growth rate use the server's hair growth speed multiplier value. It says note that sheep wool growth rate is also sped up by the leveling its food stat. Tech projectiles no longer destroy corpses. The different kind of fish can no longer receive buffs and debuffs. I'm not going to list them all, but pretty much piranhas and anything that's a fish or a trilobite now can no longer receive those buffs or debuffs. And they approve the boss attacked hit detection. So they're trying to improve those boss, the boss encounters that you have in the game. And then 246.6, this was February 3rd. This is a little bit longer one. End keys now toggles tribe far distance dino nameplates. New tech plus 200 installation buff when wearing full set of tech armor containing element. They fixed the Basilosaurus taking damage in deep water. Tame Basilo still will, however, now it only takes 1/10 of the amount of damage over time. It significantly improved server performance via low-level optimization of timer system. They reduced the server stalls approximately 15%. That gave them about a 15% performance gain. Hiding Ingrams now automatically prevents them from appearing in the supply crates, even if they are not in the exclude items. It says indices. I don't know. List. The boss music's now properly automatically takes the music volume setting into account. So it must have been that the boss music was at 100% volume. If you had your music volume in game lowered, it wouldn't listen to that, and it would just play in full blast. They added a new setting, so a player space stat multiplier to multiply player base stats. So you can use this to multiply player, for instance, per level stat multiplier player array to multiply player per weight stats. So more adjustments that you can do in the settings. Tech weapons now do substantially more damage versus everything except structures. So like a rifle does 50% more damage. Rec saddle is 100% more damage. Tech armor offers slightly greater physical protection. So a plus 30 armor per piece. Tech rex shots take slightly less elements. So it was 6, it's now down to 5. Burn rate of elements for legs and chest reduced by 50%. 50% more time per piece of element. And then they saved approximately 280 megabytes of GPU RAM due to distance field optimization and increased distance field performance.
Yeah, I can cover these next ones here, Brian. I can see you. Jeez, wow, so many freaking words. This is 254.7. This is, again, February 3rd after the last one that Brian just read. Fixed memory
leak.
It's
like 5 in 3 days.
It's crazy. Fixed memory leak and performance overhead associated with low-level timers. Element no longer spoils, and the boss drop approximately 33% more element. Increased damage of the tech projectiles and reduced element costs. All tech armor has had its durability pushed up from 120 to 300. This was just an oversight on their part. It was always meant to be more durable. They just put in a default number and didn't patch it. The tech pants ability no longer consumes element. Element is like the energy that they use. That's how they run. When coming in contact with destroying the destructible foliage, and uses the amount of element for running over time. Added a new wild NPC stasis range. Stasis is the way that they go to sleep. They're there, but the server's not the server knows they're there, but they're not running. They're in stasis. It means they're not actively they're not actively
being
NPCs.
Track them all.
Exactly. They're not doing anything. Scaling for player count options to scale server performance for more players. So if you have more players on, it makes the stasis range smaller, so that you have to get closer to the dinosaurs before they become active and actually get NPC stuff back. So that was 254.7. Here's 254.71, February 4th. Fixed the Tech Rec helmet interacting with walls/clipping, and then fixed another issue with optimized timers. 254.72, again, February 4th. Fix getting stuck when exiting ladders in the single player slash non-dedicated modes of the game. 254.86. This brings us up to today.
And one thing I wanted to note, look at how many internal patches they did.
Yep. I was going
to
say something.
Up to that point, it went to .72 to .86. Well, so they must have had something.
Well, and it's interesting because that was the weekend. They did. They didn't do a patch on Sunday or Monday. So they had a whole bunch of internal patches between Sunday and Monday. And then we get 254.86, February 7th today. Fixed wild dino spawning, getting crowded out by the tame dinosaurs on servers. Improved server opponents by approximately 20% by the final timer optimization and tamed dino optimization. Reduced armor rating effectiveness on the Golem, Bronto, Quetzal, Dodo, Carbo, and Quetzal again by 50%.
They repeated.
Okay.
They called Dodo to the Doed, and then the Quetz they put in there twice.
I'm not crazy.
Oh, I think. Yeah.
I'm not crazy. Whatever. Prevented using whip to pick up items through walls. That's kind of cool. You can pick up stuff up through walls. And there's a quick note in here. For servers, versions 254.86 has been an issue that will delete foreign dinosaurs from all save games. All servers must be upgraded to 254.87 to avoid this issue.
So this must have been a note they put in afterwards.
Yep. And then 254.87... just one quick one here. Again, that was today. Fixed build issues that were deleting foreign dinos from the save games. They talked about that. Then 254.89. Fixed critical issues where some dinosaurs would eat or tame properly. That was a timer issue that was fixed. And that brings us up to date. 254.89. What a week with ARK. And you know why they have... you could ask yourself, Brian, why do they have 100,000 people playing this game concurrently? Because of this.
Yep.
Because they actively work on developing the game. It's that simple.
Yep. I mean, they have to be working crazy over the weekends. Like, there's nonstop. These guys are truly excited about this game. I think that's one reason why we've really enjoyed covering it, because you go in that game, it is a lot of fun to play. I mean, we get burnout on games because our group, just when they pick a game, like, they'll play it solid for weeks and weeks.
Very addictive.
You know, nonstop.
Yeah.
We have an addictive group of people, but you know, this is a game that I think if we could play on a public server, you know, and you've mentioned it, like if there's ever a wipe, we'll go onto a public server and have some fun.
Oh yeah, we'll have a lot of fun.
But it's really difficult for us as a group because groups get intimidated by us coming onto a server because of the numbers of people that we have.
Yeah,
and so you know, when 20 people come onto a server and are playing almost all day, you know, they constantly see your name, your clan popping up everywhere on the server. They get nervous and then they instantly want to destroy you. So I think if we get a wipe where we can have a fresh start and not have anybody who's really a much higher level than us, I think we'll have a real chance. And then we probably would have one where we'd be willing to play over a longer period of time, because you can only play on your own private server for so long.
Yeah, exactly. It gets old.
Let's do the raffle here.
Yeah.
All right. Valp. Congratulations, Valp. I will send you a key. So he has won Gratuitous Space Battles. And so I will send that to you. Congratulations. Cool stuff.
All right. Now that Twitter is back up, throw out another tweet on there. All righty. Let's see what's next on the table. Oh, this is a good one. I've been waiting all week to talk about this. H1Z1. There has been a massive, massive server issue with H1Z1 over the past couple of days, and I'm going to illustrate this with images. Here's a tweet from February 4th. We are currently looking into issues that may be impacting logins. Thank you for your patience. February 4th, if we look at my calendar here, was Saturday. So Saturday, we had an issue, a login issue. Let's move over to February 5th. We are currently looking into an issue which is impacting some players' abilities to log in. February 5th would have been Sunday. And then February 6th. We are still investigating intermittent login issues that are affecting all of our titles. Thank you for your reports and patience. And again, on February 6th, we are aware of login issues affecting all games, and we are looking into the issue. Thanks for your continued patience while we work on this. What the hell are you guys doing? I mean, I just have to wonder, Brian, what for three days, there was an intermittent issue on Friday too that they didn't tweet about. For 4 days, the login servers were down. Not the game servers, not the H1Z1 servers, not the planet side servers, not the EverQuest servers, the login servers. The stupid Daybreak account. They have to have their own launcher. So their login servers, which is they're just authentication servers, are down.
Yep.
For the weekend. I mean, your prime time for people to be playing your game, buying crates, spending money. Login servers are down, people can't get into the game. What are these? And I tweeted out, what are you guys doing? I don't get it, Brian. I am totally, maybe I'm just out of the loop. I said, this is an absolute joke. The last 4 days this has happened. What is Daybreak Games doing? I don't know. They're not updating their games. And then their login servers are down for four days. What the hell?
And that's the thing. I don't know if they're being attacked. I haven't heard that.
No, I haven't seen any indication of that.
This is more of an internal, something's going wrong on their side. But how this wouldn't be fixed in such a short amount of time, it wouldn't be fixed in a short amount of time just seems very odd to me. I don't see a reason why. So here, I was kind of wondering to myself, why are we not seeing very much progress on Just Survive? And do you think that, we'll go into the patches, it's mostly just kind of maintenance of we're fixing little numbers here and there, adjusting balances. Do you think that they're working on the new base building and all that in the background, and they're going to try to come up with a big patch to kind of pull people back? Do you think that's the reason we don't really see anything new? It's all just adjustments to current content?
I like to hope, but I think I'd be lying to myself if I said that. No, I honestly don't.
I was kind of wondering. I'm like, maybe we don't realize.
No, I just think. No,
what's
just,
happening?
No, I mean, you know what? Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. But no, I think I'd be lying to myself, and I'd be lying to you and everybody watching and listening if I said that. Oh, I am sure, without a doubt, that they are working really hard behind the scenes. I mean, they're doing QAs on Reddit every day. I mean, God, I really, really want to love this game and love this company, but they make it so hard. On, for example, King of the Kill, the last patch on that was January 25th.
Yeah.
The last producer's letter was January 18th. And then on Just Survive, we had a test patch today, but the last patch for Just Survive was December 21st of 2016.
It was my birthday.
There you go. Well, happy birthday, Brian. They did it for you. Now that we're not going to get another one. Producer's letter, December 2nd. It's been over 2 months since we've had a producer's letter on Just Survive. I have to wonder.
Okay, so let's go. Do you want to go over these patches just to kind of give people an idea of what?
Sure.
What they're doing right now.
Sure.
So this was February 2nd. So this was during this past week.
It's a test server update.
And this was test server. So we haven't seen a live server update in a long time. But they said they updated it. And they said this is what's new in this update. They updated environment lighting and light emitter effects. So let's say, something is sparking or, a light is in a street light or something like that. Anything that kind of has a fire, a spark, anything like that. It's in order to accurately and thoroughly revamp the weather the way that they need to, they have to start with a solid environment lighting baseline to work from, which means revisiting all lighting across the board. You will see lighting updates in all situations, so day, night, exterior, and exterior, as well as tuned light emitter effects, so flashlights, fires, headlights, etc. We've temporarily removed the weather effects from this initial test update as we rework that system, but we may update data to re-enable basic and temporary core weather functionality in the next day or so. So I'm personally not sure why they totally have to rework the lighting system to make weather work correctly. unless they totally did it wrong the first time, which is possible. I mean, but remember how many patches they had for Fire?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, how much time have they put into Fire and now they're totally, they're reworking it?
We saw, it says we the saw solid those
environmental lighting baseline.
We saw those Fire GIFs and like WebM videos, those little clips for months. That's all we saw was how much work they were putting into Fire. And it's all gone, I assume.
Now
that?
They're having to rework it all because it's not right for the weather system.
Should I say I'm surprised?
Whatever.
Should I?
That's the thing is, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, this is why a long time ago, now it's coming up on at least a year. When did I say they should switch to Unreal, which I understand is unreal to think of. But when did I say they should switch?
Let me give you I had to see if I can find my my rim shot for you, Brian. Yeah, thanks for that, Brian. It was a really good one.
But you know, how long ago did I say they needed to switch engines?
Over a year and a half ago.
If they would have switched engines, started switching engines by then, imagine what kind of game we would have.
Yeah, I mean,
we would have an amazing game. An amazing game right now. And what do they have right now?
Nothing.
Nothing. They have no game. And I said a year and a half ago they should switch engines. And people were like, "Oh, that's unrealistic. Look at all the work they put into it."
It's still unrealistic, but yes, I agree. They should have. They didn't. It was unrealistic. It still is unrealistic. So, who knows?
But imagine if they would have started at that point. Nope. They couldn't be worse than they are right now.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Okay. Okay.
Impossible.
Fine. Yeah.
If it took them a year and a half to get to this point on a whole new engine, they got problems.
Yeah.
So anyways, they improved the zombie navigation logic previously only on the test server, so they have test servers and then they have test experimental servers. So that new zombie logic was in the test experimental. Now it's on test servers. This will both improve server performance and provide far more dangerous zombies. Wrenches will now lose durability when hitting vehicle tires. So I guess when you hit the tire, it wasn't losing durability just when you hit the actual vehicles themselves. Fixed a base entry exploit that allowed players to access upper shelters. Furnaces placed on ramps or near gates of bases will now take damage. Punji sticks no longer damage players through doors. Doors can no longer be glitched to face backwards. This fixes permissionless deaths, invisible permissioned players inside, and should address stacking gates.
Wow.
Does that make sense to you?
No, doesn't make
permissionless doesn't make sense. It's permission-less deaths, invisible, and in brackets, permissioned players inside. We'll move on. Constructed objects like storage containers can no longer be placed through each other by building them across base gaps. Lead pipes now break down into lead alloy. Multiple cooking container fixes, which work in snow, rain, when they re-enable the weather, and rendering effects of issues. Crops will now correctly display fertilizer effects. Crop timers should no longer restart unexpectedly. Fixed an issue with unused items spawning on test experimentals. Chain link fences now will take melee damage and can be destroyed. Overall server performance has been increased. Shock trap effects now work every time instead of the first time only. And then ongoing general fair play exploit countermeasures.
Great.
So does this sound familiar? Like 2 years ago, things like having furnaces that you can't destroy
they're putting
on ramps to block gates.
Yep.
Exact same thing 2 years ago. Yep.
And there's no notes for it, but there was from our friends H1Z1DB 12 seconds ago, there was an H1Z1 Just Survive test server update. The change ID is 2679832. The build ID is 1616712. So that's just out. Been refreshed. I have no patch notes on that yet. I'm sure it's nothing insane, but they're working on Just Survive test. It just doesn't, I mean, it's been too
nothing ever makes it because they can't get okay. They made the promise that things weren't going to go to live until it was stable.
And Wattomaniac just made that point in chat. just made that point. They don't want to release things until they're done. But
the problem is,
at what point
is it going to sit on test server? Yeah. It's never going to be stable. It's never been stable for 2 years.
Yeah. At what point you say, okay, this is enough, right?
I mean, I know they don't want to break their word. The problem is they brought in developers from other big name titles that don't want to back out on their word. But I think they're realizing how big a mistake it was to put something behind this engine. Say, all right, we're not going to release something until this is stable, and the engine is not going to be stable. Like, they need to give up and say, all right, we have a new baseline for stable. Is there anything that's causing the server to shut down? No. Okay, it's stable. Let's go.
Yeah.
And right now the servers, I mean, they can't even get the logins to work.
No, exactly. There's a lot of issues with this game. Conan Exiles will most likely be out of early access by the time we have anything nice to talk about in this game. As sad as that is, it's probably the truth. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's the thing is I'm very burnt out right now on it. I mean, I have no enthusiasm about it, but that can change. It's just, I was thinking, hey, you know, we've got these new guys on the team, but I'm not seeing you've had months now being on the team, put out any new content. What new content has been out in months?
Yeah.
On Just Survive?
Yeah. None.
I can't think of any. I can't think of a single piece of new content that's put out on Just Survive in months. And now, you know, and they've been working now a couple months on the team, up to 3 months now, I think. I think they came around right before Christmas.
Yeah.
Around Thanksgiving time. Well, that's 3 months. They should be able to have produced something new.
You would think.
Unless there's just five people on the team.
Or, like you said, it's the big, they're working on 1,000 different things, and the next patch we have is going to be awesome.
But the next one that actually makes it. Then that's the thing. That is very possible, and I'm willing to give them that benefit of a doubt, but past track record proves that, or, you know, shows that not to be the case.
Not always.
But we have new people on the team. That is a possibility.
Yes.
Dreamman says they're working on the next game.
That's possible. They are hiring too. People. Go on their website. You can look. They're hiring people for an undisclosed game. So yeah. We'll see what happens. But I am so defeated with H1Z1. It's really bad.
Well, if they were putting out, at least attempting to put out content, but I see no hint at anything new.
No, I don't see anything as well. We do have a new Rust dev blog 146. And with that comes a Shadowfrax dev blog update.
Pinch punch, first update of the month. Shadowfrax here with this week's Rust news. And can you smell that? That fantastic fishy fragrance, that orgasmic oceanic odor, that perplexing pelagic perfume. It must be my tuna can wall lamp, but oh no, it appears to have just gone out. I know, I'll just light it up again with my brand new flame turret. Yes, indeed, Helk has been absolutely on fire this week, going back through all of my old concept Limbo videos, and is adding whatever low-hanging fruit he can find therein. Poor chap will be scarred for life by the time he's finished all 12 episodes. So here we stand on the threshold of a brave new world where this week we have not just one, but two brand new playthings to toy and destroy with. Exhibit A being Rust's first actual wall light. Originally concepted way back in 2014, but here it is, finally in-game in all its fishy glory. It'll set you back one empty tuna can, rinse it out first though, 20 wood and 10 low grade. It functions pretty much like the lantern, burning fuel at the same rate, casts a warm glow and looks, dare I say it, rather castly. Next, something that I know a lot of you have been climbing up the walls to get your hands on ever since the first glimpse we got of it back in August of last year, Turrety McTurret Face, or the Flame Turret as it's officially known. Wedged into this week's update sideways at the last moment, this smarmy looking beast works on similar principles to the auto turret, but does have a couple of distinct differences. Obviously, it doesn't use bullets, but but rather low-grade fuel, and fortunately is a bit more frugal with it, so you'll definitely get more flames for your florins. When triggered, it will spray and pray for 5 seconds. However, and this is the big experimental difference, instead of having to authorize on it, it will only attack people who don't have building privilege. The plan is to be able to hook it up to pressure pads or other triggering mechanisms one day, but until then, if you don't want visitors to your base toasted to a crispy finish, just take the fuel out. Each one will cost you 15 HQ, 5 metal pipes, 5 propane tanks, and 3 gears, and take 60 seconds to craft. Oh, and don't put them in wooden buildings, by the way. I wonder what other nearly finished items will be resurrected from the realms of
Concept Limbo.
Next, what would you like to see? Leave me a comment, please. The team have been on it this week, and there were an absolute crap ton of other changes to Rust, so you'll have to forgive me if I rattle through some of them. But first, there were some adjustments to how items were skinned, which will allow more of them to become skinnable. And for a start, you can now make ones for both the double barrel and the satchel charge, so looking forward to see what you come up with for those. Quick Craft will now use whatever skin you last chose for that item, and the correct icon will now appear in the crafting queue. In addition to this, and a much requested feature, your starter rock will also have whatever skin you chose for it last time, be that a chunk of ice or a piece of overripe fruit. Up until this update, a tiny amount of radiation would always seep through, even if you were suited up in full rad gear, and this was bad, so now it won't, which is good. Ever wonder why you never saw many porch lights or exterior lanterns on bases? Mostly because people without building privilege could just run up and steal the low grade out of them. Well, no longer. Now you can only access them if authorized on the local tool cupboard. In other changes, now you can only decant water from barrels or catchers by interacting with their taps. Most ammo will stack to 128, nice round number there. Plants can take damage and be chopped down, and dead neglected ones will now stick around as a reminder of your pathetic horticultural incompetence. Almost all of the more exotic signage has had its prices slashed to as much as a third or quarter of what it was before. Bone armor and deer helmets cost 50 less bone each and a bit less rope. Arrow trails were using the wrong shader all this time, meaning they were bright white even at night, and this was quite a sight in a fight. Now this is fixed. Ladder hatches are equivalent in strength and raidability to a sheet metal door, and so behave accordingly when attacked, and the underside is now immune to damage from things like bone clubs and hatchets. Building parts now glow blue when you point a hammer at them, and the last vestige of the old XP system, item ownership, was finally stripped out, which is a shame because you can no longer see who all the old owners of an item were, but fear not, because the most useful and fun aspect of it all is still there, namely skulls will display the name of the player they were harvested from. The cleaver was buffed to inflict more damage and has a higher range now, same as the mace. Pumpkins, when worn on the noggin, are visible from much further away. The combat log now shows a unique server assigned ID for both attacker and target, which should help admins out quite a bit, and there were a number of fixes to the player model, including proper animations for ladder climbing. Definitely a step in the right direction. Performance-wise, LODs for all weapons are still being worked through and optimized. There were some fixes to physics, a server load entity leak was found and sorted out, and the first iteration of the new world serialization system is here, which basically means that the first time you join a server, the world will be cached. The idea being that any subsequent times you join, the loading process should be sped up substantially. So give it a go and let me know what you think. There's now proper ambience in caves too, so in with the nice drippy sounds and out with being able to still hear birds, which was rather off-putting. Also, the reverb has had another pass. In works in progress, the bunkers at the military tunnel complex are getting plumbed in properly, with a second fix of modular pipes, electrical installations, and all sorts of valves, gauges, and knobs being added. It's not in-game yet, but is looking very sexy indeed. Lastly, for those of you who don't mind being branded as a heavy metal pothead, the texturing on the new armor set is almost finished and the whole thing will soon be clanking its way over to being rigged. Exciting times, chaps. Exciting times. Thanks for watching and for pressing my buttons. You know which ones I mean. Please leave me a comment and let me know what you think to this week's update. Come and visit me in all the usual places such as Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and Steam, and I shall catch you all soon. But in the meantime, keep calm and stay rusty. Cheerio.
All right, man. You know, I'm a pretty sarcastic person, and the humor that Shadowfrax uses speaks to me. And I'm sitting over here watching Brian, and he doesn't crack a smile. He's just like, he says heavy metal pothead, and Brian's just as straight faced as could be. As I'm over here having a coronary. So,
yeah, I was laughing inside.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, you're Mr. Emotion. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, he makes these updates seem more appealing than they really
and
are.
And then, I mean, and another thing, I mean, when you look at the numbers that game has, they're amazing numbers, just like Ark.
Yeah.
But what's the thing that they consistently do? What makes them have that level of numbers?
Every
week there is at least a decent, something new, constant patches, constant things are being created. They don't let a week go by without having something new.
Yep.
I mean, look at that thing. They put in a flame turret. I mean, they can have somebody
look
craft
at it.
That.
It's in a cement. It's in like a one of those 55-gallon barrel drums cut in
so
half.
So all they did was take the drum, cut it off the top, put some concrete texture on top. Yep.
And then they attach a flamethrower.
Have some more barrels on top.
Yep. And then attach a flamethrower to it. And it rotates and spins.
Yep.
I mean, how cool. That's freaking awesome.
And then they put the lights inside. Like, little things like that make a big difference to people that really take pride in their bases.
Yep.
I mean, you know, for our game, that's one thing I've been doing is making a flickering light. Like, you know, it takes you, it probably took one of their programmers an hour and a half, you know, max to have somebody model it, get the light thing in there, make it flicker or whatever, put it in the game. And that makes a huge difference to the players.
Yes.
Little things like that. When a game company takes the time to focus on that and put those things in the game, when, you know, in their meetings, they could say, well, that's not important. You know, we don't need to have that in there. Why would we waste time? Those are the type of things that people notice. Little things like that. Like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to put that in my base. So at night it lights up. I don't know. It's just, I don't understand why more don't do things like that. Like take some of the, like he was talking about low hanging fruit. You put some of that stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like everything doesn't have to be some huge thing. I'd rather have a bunch of those little things than, you know, than one mid-sized patch every 3 months.
I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly, 100%. So that's Rust. Some cool stuff with Rust. And we will keep our eye on that. Transitioning over to Unturned. We do have some new stuff with Unturned. Again, another game. Look at how many people are currently playing it. Why are those people playing it? Because there's an update every single week. Every single week there's an update with Unturned. And with this
and that's the thing we were talking about. It doesn't have to always be something huge.
No, this isn't a big update. I mean, here we go. Vehicle changes. All vehicles now spawn with a battery. The battery charges while the engine is running and drains down if the headlights and or sirens are left on with the engine off, like a real battery would. If your battery runs out while driving, the horns, headlights, and taillights and sirens will stop working. If the battery is dead when entering the vehicle, the ignition will not function. You can remove the battery in the vehicle context menu and add one by using a replacement found at the mechanics and gas station. So now they've got like essentially a realistic battery system. One that works like a real battery system. Your car battery dies. Yeah, if you leave your headlights, you know, you don't have sirens on your car, I don't think. But if you leave that stuff on, your battery dies. So they added the vehicle battery, added the battery charge required to use headlights, sirens, and horns, added the ability to steal the vehicle battery to disable the ignition, added a new car tire, added the ability for weapons and caltrops to damage car tires, added the use
water. So those are the things that you, like police officers will throw on the road to like roll them out on the road that
spike,
will pop tires
spike,
as you go by.
Yeah, spike strip.
Use
water height transparent sort flag for transparent objects above or below water. Added death cause options to kill volumes. And then finished most of the Hawaiian cosmetics and skins.
One thing, a caltrop can also be like if you make a little, they can be individual little things that are sparked like spiked edges.
Oh, okay.
You know, that you'll put two things together. You can throw out like a bucket of them onto the road as well. That would also be considered.
Gotcha.
Same thing.
Cool.
That's probably what they're talking about. I'm assuming that's what they're throwing in games is you can place things to pop people's tire on the road.
Yeah, which that game's already got enough of that stuff going on. So that will only add to the chaos that will ensue. But I mean, there you go. Not a big patch. Improved loading screen to pick random images from the screenshots folder. I mean, that's not anything big. Improved server info on the screen to show the game mode. There's nothing big in here.
Yeah.
There's nothing big in here. So, but again, why are people playing it? Because they're consistent. Consistent, consistent, consistent.
Yep.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. I like the game has so much. This is one of the things that just surprised me after we started playing it more, was how much content and how much depth it actually has. I mean, it has that Minecraft look.
Yep.
But if you look at the amount, he's got helicopters and boats and just the amount of depth that's in that game, it's gotten way more depth than like something like H1Z1 or even I think Miscreated as far as things that you can do. It looks simple, but it's got a crazy amount of just content in the game that until you go in there and start looking around and actually finding things. And it's a very, very difficult survival game.
Yeah, that's the thing is
zombies kill you pretty easily.
That's the thing. You look at the game and originally, like you just said, Brian, that's lame. Minecraft, Legos, not interested. This is a hard freaking core survival game. I don't care what, if you say otherwise, you're an idiot. Because it is. It's a hardcore survival game that just doesn't look super realistic. But that's the difference. So, props to them. Props to him, I should say.
Yeah, and it's one guy.
Yep, one guy. It's pretty crazy.
Pretty incredible.
Yes, it is.
All right, so do we want to jump into some of the forest?
Sure, we had two patches. The forest's patches are not... They don't always have patches, and typically when they have them, they're pretty significant.
They're pretty big.
Yeah.
So this patch, they've added a new late-game tribe, because that's one thing they're really trying to focus in on with the forest, because I don't think they expected it to be as popular as it was, perhaps. They started realizing that the type of people playing this game wanted to have some sort of endgame or late-game story. So they've been adding more late game content into this, kind of figuring out the ending to the story. So for this patch, they've added a new late game tribe who are harder to kill and do more damage to the players. And these are recognizable by the crosses painted on them. So they have crosses painted on their bodies. They've also given skinny enemies the ability to carry and use sticks as weapons. And the regular enemies can now use any of the crafted primitive weapons in the game to attack players. So they're kind of focusing on the enemies and what they can attack with, how strong they are. It says for single player hard mode, they removed the inventory pausing. So you will need to get a safe area before taking meds and crafting items. Because before you could hit escape and it would pause. So, you could kind of stop the game and maybe get your composure or whatever it was. Now the game keeps playing in hard mode. Like it doesn't stop. There is no pause mode. So they're saying to bring things to, if you're going to bleed out or something, bring things to revive yourself or get your health back. In multiplayer, they've made some big memory optimizations for clients. And this is something that hopefully will make it so that you can have more consistent multiplayer games. Fixed birds not syncing correctly between players and fixed a bunch of other bugs, including issues with destroyed cave walls, respawning for clients, and clients having issues saving and loading in caves or in the sinkhole. We've revamped the cold damage system, so you will now take cold damage if freezing and standing still for 8 consecutive seconds, so you need to keep moving if it's really cold. If you keep moving, you'll warm up slightly and won't suffer any damage. So to make this clear, we have a full screen frost effect that when you're getting really cold, you can see frost kind of building up on your screen, showing you when the damage is occurring. And then they show you visually that you're cold. Your skin will turn slightly blue and will visibly shake. So they tweaked boost to give you a temporary warmth boost, offsetting the cold damage and frost timers. And then for bow and arrows, when the bow is fully drawn visibly, the arrow will now be at full power. Previously, you would have to hold the arrow down for a longer period of time to be at full strength. So we've also made reloading slightly faster and added the ability to light fire arrows directly from standing fire. So you can walk up to a standing fire, light your arrow, and then shoot it. Caves 1 and 3 had a bunch of extra detail added to them. So they've done a pass on enemy layouts and pacing in these caves. So also added some floating suitcases and different floating planks that were in some of the water areas. So they weren't looking like they're actually sitting on the water or on the ground. Along with this, we fixed a ton of bugs. And they we're not going to go through the full fix list. And they added a new art to the stealth armor and to the leaf shelter. And then they finally actually turned on rabbit breeding and cages and lots more. So there's a list that's probably about, what, 3-4 pages long, I would think. About 3 pages long, that has a bunch of fixes as far as performance fixes and tweaks to the game. So I encourage you to check that out. And there's a lot of things that are actually multiplayer related. So if you played it before and you found maybe it wasn't performing how you'd want it to, I would check it out again. And then they did a 0.54B, or yeah, this is B patch, and it's just one thing. It says fixed bug where some caves were not loading into save games for clients. So that brings you to current. That's The Forest, a really fun game. If you can do it multiplayer, I think it's about 4 people. I think you can do something to make it 8 with some sort of a mod or something. But yeah, that's The Forest. And then one more, Life is Futile. This is one where they're pretty consistent. I mean, every 3 weeks, I think probably about once a month, they put out a patch for this game. And this is that one that I always tell you guys, it's really hard to play. A very, very good game. But they put out a number of new recipes for this game. You know, they've been working on a decent number of bug fixes. If you're really into a survival game, and I've said this before, if you're looking for a survival game that's truly a survival game that has a lot of depth, and maybe you don't buy games very often and you like to get into one game and like play it for months and months, I'd really encourage you to play Life is Futile. I think that you'd really enjoy it if you're into really hardcore survival games. If you're into very lighthearted, you know, really easy, you want to go to easy mode, just enjoy kind of mindlessly playing something, don't play this game. But if you're into real survival and you want something that will take months and months to even get somewhere that you feel like you're powerful in the game, I would try this out. I think you'd enjoy it. And then finally, we're on the 7 Days to Die. So this is not the big patch.
No.
This is kind of a midway patch. They're doing some bug fixes because they've been working on a really big patch up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they probably had some things that they knew they had to address, some fixes they came up with. And they're like, well, let's not wait till the real patch. So this is 15.2. This is not Alpha 16. And they do talk about the number of concurrent players, which are you going to be going into that, I think, after this?
Yes, right? Of course.
So they make a comment about being happy with their concurrent players, and Nick will go into that. And they give an update here about Alpha 16. It says, folks, we're trucking along with Alpha 16, which could last through the end of March. So main planned features include, so this is going to be maybe up to 2 months away. Electricity system with generators, battery banks, solar banks, lights, switches, relays, trigger systems, and melee traps, arranged traps, and more. Painting system, which we're talking about with, it says it has 128 unique textures that you can put in there, and you can pretty much paint buildings to look how, you know, whatever style you want them to look, make them brick or whatever you want to do. Random gen beta version, which includes city, town, and rural zoning, rivers, caves, and a bunch of other new locations. Sleeper zombie system, where locations have sleeping zombies inside. Distant location rendering system, where you can see the buildings a mile away, which we've covered a number of times. New and updated animals with fur system support, so the bear actually has fur on it. And it says there's a half dozen extra features that could make it if all goes well. So that is the anticipated for Alpha 16, which they said could go through the end of March, so up to a month and a half, 2 months away. But in this one, they've been adjusting the horde difficulty because it wasn't adjusting correctly for a party with multiple players together. Player planted corn disappears immediately. That was a fix. It must have been disappearing immediately when it shouldn't have. Or you would gather it. Probably this was happening. You were gathering it and it wasn't disappearing, even though you had already harvested it. Using a bow results in multiple arrows being visible from other players' perspective. So fix that. User logins phase updated, including fixes for users of Steam's family sharing, as well as improved kick feedback. Canceled errors do not visually unload from bow, or does not, so they fix that. And the custom modded UMA zombies not using external Atlas. So, and then they had some known issues. So these are things that I don't think... these are ones that exist still. I'm getting several duping issues, terrain clipping to see underground, building in caves. UMA zombies are missing the head gore bone. This needs to be adjusted or added to correctly show the flesh cap of the neck when the head is removed. So when you decapitate one, auger, chainsaw, and nail gun use the gunsmithing crafting skill and the blunderbuss weapon smithing. They said there's some known crashes. So like OS X game crashes on startup if multiple monitors are attached and not set to mirrored.
Jeez.
Linux graphics corruption on some.
Who the GPUs. Hell has all their? Who the hell has their mirror? Who the hell has multiple monitors set to mirror? The hell's the use of that?
And, that's the issue. Is you'd have to, before you play this game, mirror all your displays or unplug your extras.
That's effective.
Windows game crashing after entering a game on old NVIDIA drivers. So if you had the 3-4X series, that is a current crash. They have some possible solutions though that you can set. So they have some instructions. We'll have it in our show notes. If you are running into those problems, you can try them out, for fixing that issue. So that is 7 Days to Die 15.2. So not the 16 that we've been waiting for.
March.
I was excited when I saw the download happening. I was like, the download did seem a little bit small, but I thought maybe we're finally going to see it, but nope.
It's, March is, March is, I know, next month, about 20 something days from now. But they've been, this patch has been being worked on for a long time now. I understand it's a big patch. They're adding the big thing with the cities and the render distance, electricity, painting. They're doing a lot of things with this patch. I totally get it. But it's been a while. I don't know if you'd agree with this, but almost bordering on a little too long.
I understand that it's a hard...
Big update. I get it. But it's been a long time.
They should have pulled some things out and put out 16 and then pushed that one off for 17 if the other stuff is done.
Yeah. Because it's just been...
I know they want to put it all because they promised it, but they could have put out this much long, much...
Yeah.
Even if they didn't have the... I don't know which of the features it is that's holding this patch back, whether it's the distance or, whatever it is, but they should have at least half of it. I think 4 months is too long for a patch.
I agree. Way too long. So we'll see what happens, what comes out with this. But I'm still really looking forward. This needs to be out in early March. This can't go through March, halfway through March. Oh, it's coming soon. This thing needs to just be out. So we'll see what happens with that. We got any other news here? Are we moving on to our next giveaway?
Yes. Should I give away a copy of Stronghold Crusaders 2? It's a $50 game.
Sure.
Pretty big title.
Let's do it.
All right. So let me go ahead and open this up and !! Giveaway. I always have to make sure I spell this right. And this one we'll do 40. Let's do 50 points. We'll go. People should be listening for an hour by now. So !! Giveaway. If you typed it before that message came in, you'll have to type it again. But this is going to be Stronghold Crusaders 2. It is a $50 game on Steam. So if you don't have it, it came out in 2014. It is a strategy medieval RTS city builder classic game. If you're into that type of a game, I think you'd probably find this to be a lot of fun.
There we go. Alrighty, Brian, we have got a jam-packed current players, a lot of other additional information with this as well. Let me make sure I've got all of my details set up here and ready to go. Let's do it. First off the gate here, H1Z1 Just Survive. H1Z1 Combined. This is Just Survive and King of the Kill. Currently playing these games. 30,234. The 24-hour peak for this, 54,586. And the 7-day peak, 60,512. Currently playing H1Z1 Just Survive, 2,984. The 24-hour peak for this, 5,034. And the 7-day peak, 5,867. King of the Kill. Currently playing that, 27,250. 24-hour peak for this, 49,552. And the 7-day peak is actually the all-time peak for King of the Kill. Currently playing this, 54,000. or excuse me, 7-day peak, 54,645. That is the all-time peak since H1Z1 split into Just Survive and King of the Kill. Great numbers with that. And, of course, ARK. Currently playing that, 48,505. 24-hour peak for this, 78,039. And the 7-day peak, 101,035 players. That's an unreal number. That was 2 days ago. Unreal. Rust, currently playing that, 30,958. 24-hour peak for this, 49,205. And another game. This is the all-time peak 3 days ago, 68,216. So we had three of the games that we cover all hit their peak concurrent players this weekend. Pretty unbelievable with that. Miscreated, currently playing that, 1,606. The 24-hour peak for this, 2,512. And the 7-day, 2,751. 7 days to die, currently playing that, 9,490. The 24-hour peak for this, 11,313. And the 7-day peak, 15,999.
Well, they came really close to 16,000.
Yes, they did. And Conan,
they're wishing they had that one more.
Exiles, currently playing that, 27,600. Even with the official servers
not
offline.
Bad for no, yeah, no,
no servers. Currently, the 24-hour peak for this, 41,483. And the 7-day peak, which is the all-time peak, 53,311. That brings us up to date with current players. That's the latest. I don't know what happened this weekend with games, but H1Z1 King of the Kill, ARK Survival Evolved, and Rust all had their their all-time peaks, which is crazy.
Weird. I mean, you would wonder why in February, week of February.
February,
why?
College kids are back at school. You would think Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter.
They probably know they probably know that Valentine's Day is coming up and their wives aren't going to let them play video games next week, so they got to get it all in this week.
Who knows? This ARK number.
101,000.
I'm sure that was not even a thought of people at the company when that game launched.
Nope.
Absolute insanity with that. Congratulations to them and all these other games that are hitting. You know, we kind of poo-pooed on H1Z1 for a while. But again, people are playing the game. They haven't done a patch in a month. People are still playing, so.
Most people are playing King of the Kill, though.
Yep, exactly.
Which is fairly stable.
Yes.
I mean, for what it is.
Oh, totally, without a doubt.
I mean, if you don't mind weird things happening, crashing out, you know, losing a game because something went wrong every once in a while, which doesn't happen every game, you know, that's fine. It's not a competition level, and we've gone over that before. It's definitely not stable like CSGO and these other games are to where you can get consistent. But, you know, for what it is, there's not major problems with it right now.
Yeah, for
so I think that's where most of their numbers are.
All right.
All right, so let's go ahead and go into Tip of the Week. Tip of the Week's where we'll either talk about a specific game or maybe we'll go into gaming in general. But this is going to be specific about Conan Exiles. So this is Tip of the Week. All right, so for this tip, I wanted to talk a little bit about the thrall taming system because there seemed to be a little bit of confusion, not a lot of information first when the game was released about how that system worked. So in the game, you're able to tame thralls that will help protect your base, or they'll help you to access special items that you can use, you know, craft because of those thralls. So as far as melee, there's a couple different kinds. You have the melee, and then you have a ranged type of thrall, so they'll shoot with bows. And you can place those to stand anywhere around your base that you choose. So perhaps you want to create a archer's tower. You know, you can have maybe some gates or something around your base, and you can place a couple melee thralls around there. The AI still needs to be worked on some, but you know, if something comes up, they usually will run up and start attacking, or with the ranged one, they'll start shooting arrows at whatever it is. And this can protect your base when you're not logged in. So there is one bonus to that. You know, if you're going to be logging off, you don't have a lot of people playing constantly throughout the day, you can get a number of these thralls placed down your base to at least kind of attack things that might be, you know, attacking your base when you're AFK. Then also to get this, you need to actually one more type is the dancer. The dancer will remove corruption and also help provide health regen at your base. But as far as taming these or you know, capturing them, you first need to get a Wheel of Pain. And the Wheel of Pain is used to break the will of the captured thralls. So you'll place that at your base. The basic one will allow you to break the will of one thrall at a time. There is an updated one that will let you do a couple of thralls at the same time. And then after that, you'll need to craft a truncheon and a fiber binding, which one will be used to knock out the thrall. And then you'll tie it up and drag him back to your base or her back to your base with the fiber binding. This is something that when you get the thrall back to your base, it'll actually be an icon in your inventory. You'll go up to your Wheel of Pain. You put it in, not into the inventory slot where you would put, you know, other items in there. It actually has a slot just for the thralls. They don't have the numbers. So if it's a Wheel of Pain that only accepts one thrall, it will show multiples in there. So that's one thing you have to kind of be wary of, is you may think that you might be able to put more thralls in that than you can. But in the basic one, you only can put one. So you'll put that thrall in there. And then it requires something called gruel. The gruel is kind of like food that you will place then in the inventory slot of the Wheel of Pain. To make that, you need to place inside of a fire. There is the the fiber stuff you get from plants. And then I'm trying to remember what the other thing is. You put a couple of things in there to make the gruel, and then in the fire, it creates that. You put it inside of the Wheel of Pain, and that sets a little timer. So the more gruel you have in there, the more time that will run. You have to turn it on and off. So if you don't want to waste gruel after you have broken the will of one of these thralls, you need to turn that off. And then it won't waste, because it'll keep going around and using up your gruel. Once they're tamed, you can take them out of the slot that's in there, and you can place them around your base. So let's say it's one that's used for crafting. If it's a blacksmith thrall, you can put them in the blacksmithing station. You'll see a little thrall slot in there. And that actually opens up special recipes that you'll be able to craft when that is there. So, and then you have your base protection ones, so you can place those around. And I'm not sure the limit yet of how many thralls you can have at your base. I don't know if there is a limit. They're very helpful. We haven't gotten to a high enough level to really take advantage of the crafting things, but they have special things that certain types of thralls will be able to craft. So even if there's a difference between like a regular blacksmith thrall and then a specialty thrall that might be able to make a special type of weapon. So, I encourage you to go get some of those, and hopefully we'll be experimenting more with this as we play a little bit more and get to see the real benefit of some of those extra thralls. Cause like we haven't gotten a dancer one yet. We got a blacksmithing one, but we weren't high enough level, I think, to get the recipes for it. So we will see that. And that is tip of the week. A bunch of tips in there, but all related to one thing.
Cool stuff. Thank you very much, Brian.
Yes. All right. So we don't want to do this last giveaway.
Let's do it.
All right. Bloodcore 91. Congratulations, Bloodcore. So I will send you guys messages for these two things here in a little bit. And look in your other, because it'll probably show up in your other messages folder, because that's just for some reason that's what Twitch does.
Yes, of course. We are going to PAX East 2017 in Boston, Massachusetts. In less than 30 days, Brian will be touching down in Boston. I will be on the road trip of a lifetime with Jake Sembraski out to Boston.
That'll be exciting.
It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it.
No shotgun.
Great. You guys can fight over that.
I call it first. There is my witness.
30 days to that. Head on over to infectionpodcast.com/PAX, PAX, if you feel so inclined to do so. Every penny helps. We are going all out with this trip. We're putting a lot of time, effort, and money into this to make this the best experience possible for you, the viewers. So we've got a lot of cool stuff coming up with this.
Yeah. And hopefully we get some really good contacts there. Cause that's one of our goals, is to get to talk to some developers, kind of get that, you know, that recognition of, hey, I've met you before. All right. Yeah. We'll have you on the show, or, you know, you will come on the show. So I think that'll be really good to get some of those. And maybe this is going to have some of the newer developers on there that maybe you haven't heard about their games, their newer ones that haven't released yet. You know, hopefully they'll get an opportunity to meet some of those people and figure out some games, find out about some games that aren't really being hyped yet.
Exactly. Exactly. Cool stuff. Thank you very much, Brian. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, and that's B-O-I-S-E. Some people don't know what Boise is.
Boise City.
Yeah, boys. so B-O-I-S-E, Boise Computer on Twitter. If you want to find my blog, B-I-T-E, so biteoftech.com. And I really encourage people, come into our Discord. We've gotten some new names this past week on Discord. So that's a lot of fun. You see some new names in there, people that are coming and starting to play games with you. So if you're looking for a really fun gaming community, please come and join our Discord. A lot of really wonderful people in there and people that are playing all the time. This week, I haven't been able to play very many games, and it frustrates me. But, you know, there are people that, regardless, when you get an opportunity to play games, there's people in there that are ready to play. So it's a really good place to start.
Yes, a great place to do that. A lot of cool people. Some people joining that have listened to the show for a while and just haven't joined Discord, new to Discord. So I encourage you, if you're an audio listener listening on your drive to or from work or at work, join Discord. There's a lot of people that have recently started joining that are in the same boat, and we welcome everybody. Of course, the link to that is on our website, infectionpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at InfectionCast, our YouTube channel, which is important to subscribe to. You can head on over to our website, infectionpodcast.com, click on the YouTube button. It's going to be important. Come packs. All the content will be uploaded there. And then, of course...
our game of the week.
Yes. First, our Steam group, and then our game of the week. Go ahead, Brian. What are we playing?
All right. So we decided we're going to play some Overwatch.
It's been a while.
Because there's some other games that, you know, we could play, but we've played them somewhat recently. So I figured we could get some Overwatch in this game that a lot of people have. It's very stable, a lot of fun. We don't have to worry about it crashing out. And then as some of these other games get more stable, or we get a little more time since the last time we played them, we'll kind of rotate some of these other ones through. And I don't think anybody's ready to play H1Z1 yet.
Yes, exactly.
So we'll wait a little while.
So
yes, we will play some Overwatch this Friday, 9:00 Eastern. Make sure it's updated, kind of launch it a little bit early. A lot of people in this game start to play it a little bit beforehand. So if you show up half an hour, 45 minutes early, I'm sure people will already start.
I'm sure. We'll see you Friday night for that. Thank you very much, Brian. We'll see you next week on Monday. Remember, we'll be doing the show next Monday.
You can do something for Valentine's Day.
No excuses. No excuses. We'll see you next Monday. That will be Monday, February 13th at 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. And then we'll be back Tuesdays after that, leading up until PAX. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig if you're interested in gaming, geekiness, and more. Check out The Crummy Show at crummyshow.com. If you're interested in news and politics, check out Against the Norm at atnshow.com. Folks, that's going to do it for another episode of Infection. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.